Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Hello, welcome to Revolutionary Life. Excuse me. This is Gary speaking. tonight, Revolutionary Life. If you're new here, Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. In Revolutionary Life, guys, we just discuss all our aspects of life, things that affect us every day, directly and indirectly. But we just take a revolutionary, we look at them from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of that change. Change is inevitable. Change is constant. The reactionary is someone who holds back change. The revolutionary wants to keep their finger on the pulse so that they can ride change in and be on the front of it. If you're in the front of change, you might have something to do with how it ends up, how it's shaped, where it goes. If you're not, you won't. Welcome, everyone, to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary, and tonight we're going to talk some isms. Socialism, communism, capitalism. Socialism, communism, and capitalism, and real politics. Real politics. Socialism, communism, and capitalism are words that have been passed around and used to organize people, give them hope, and to scare people, to instill fear in them, to separate them. So it's been used in both ways, all of these isms. Now, however, the basic understanding of socialism, communism, capitalism, because I've had several conversations, many on these subjects, and I literally find that most people can't define socialism. I understand they've never seen it. They believe they've never seen it or read very much about it, or communism. Never seen it, never read anything about it, or capitalism. Believe it or not, never seen it, never seen it and never read anything about it. Or only a small amount. Let's say in a capitalist country, you're likely to bump into the concept more often than you would communism or socialism. And then this class asks about the real politic. Does these things matter? Are these the things people go to war about? We're saving the world from communism. We're spreading democracy. We're trying to keep these socialists from taking over the government. These socialists are trying to take over our government. I heard one guy say, if socialists understood economics, they'd be capitalists. Or something to that effect. Some guy said that. Anyway, tonight, guys, let's break this stuff down. Tonight, we want to break this stuff down. Tonight, if you don't know what these things are, when they're waved at you, and they will be, and they are, to either organize you to a cause or whatever, a political party or whatever, or to scare you away from something. They use both ways, all of these terms. Now, I would like to, for those people who are familiar, who are born and raised in capitalist countries, are countries that are considered to be capitalist countries, those countries that extol the virtues of capitalism. Now keep in mind, guys, these are isms. These are philosophies. These are isms. These are ways of going about things in a certain going about things a certain way. And in particular, these things that they're going about is building social organizations, governments, countries, nations, political entities, economic entities. And so let's get down to the real politics. Socialism, guys. Capitalism. Let's start with capitalism. Most of the people who hear me are familiar with this term. They've heard it mentioned in a positive way. They've heard it mentioned in a negative way. So that's why we need to talk about it. The father of capitalism, a man by the name of, given that credit to, that credit goes to a man by the name of Adam Smith. If you never heard of Adam Smith, look it up, guys. Adam Smith. And he wrote a book that became famous that explains capitalism pretty well, called The Wealth of Nations. He wrote several books. That's one of them. The Wealth of Nations. And he became known as the father of capitalism. Now, I know a lot of capitalists out there. I know a lot of capitalists personally. But I don't think they've read The Wealth of Nations. I heard Adam Smith, to tell the truth. Anyway, and I understand that. But they declare themselves capitalists. Now, the people I know who declare themselves capitalists are very much concerned other governmental systems, socialism, communism, will take away their private property. In capitalist countries and socialist countries, we pride having private wealth, private property, for instance. And if you like having private property, land, let's say, just one property, let's say land, and then a socialist country might say, no, you can't have private property. Well, let me give you a little history, guys, because the father of capitalism, Adam Smith, believed that you could have private property. You could amass as much private property as you could afford. Right? And nobody can take it away from you. Not even the government. Karl Marx, a gentleman called Karl Marx, K-A-R-L, Karl, Karl Marx, M-A-R-X, wrote a book called he wrote a manifesto called The Communist Manifesto. But he also wrote a several-volume collection of books known as Das, D-A-S in German, Das Kapital, Capital, on capitalism, by the way. But Karl Marx was known as the father of communism, the writer of the Communist Manifesto, which is a document that declares the basis for introduction to communism, the Communist Manifesto. Karl Marx, the father of communism, Adam Smith, the father of capitalism, differed with each other, of course, and Karl Marx spoke to this issue of private property. He says, let's take land, for instance. In America, you under certain all these capitalist countries, you prize private property. But how many Americans own, Karl Marx asked, private property? And how many Americans own that property to the extent that it can't be taken away from them by the government? Does that really exist? And we've here in America, we know about things like public domain. If the government says wants to build a highway and you're in the way, you're going to give up that property. They're going to approach you about giving that property, getting out of the way, right? And so they need to have that right, I guess. And so we claim to have private property, but if you don't pay the mortgage or the rent or the notes or whatever on that property, it can be taken away. So we claim to have private property, but how private is it when it can be taken away from you by the government? You afraid that the government going to take your private property on the capital, on the socialism? Well, can't the government take your private property? Can't the bank take your private property? Can't a lawsuit take your private property under capitalism? There's many ways that you can still lose what you consider to be your precious private property. And so they argued about these things back and forth. Adam Smith, the father of capitalism, and his students, his followers, his adherents, and then Karl Marx and his adherents would argue for communism over capitalism. Well, let's get something straight. Karl Marx spoke about communism, but there has never been a communist country on this earth that I know about, that I've ever heard of. China may be considered a communist country, but you know better than that. Microsoft's over there, and a hell of a lot of other American companies are over there making good money. You got millionaires coming out of China. They're going to Africa and other places starting enterprise businesses. And so China's turning out entrepreneurs like it ain't nothing. And so there are no communist countries. Forget about it. Karl Marx spoke of communism as something in the future. And in fact, he laid out a bunch of steps. He says, before there was capitalism, there was feudalism, when the king owned everything. If you had a piece of land, it was a franchise from the king to be taken anytime. Kings or queens, royalty, they owned everything. It was the king's deer in the forest. If you got caught killing the king's deer, like Robin Hood, them who lived in the forest, you could be arrested by the sheriff of the forest, Sheriff of Nottingham. He was hired to make sure nobody was hunting the king's deer. The man owned everything. The king owned everything. You didn't own nothing. And then before that, there was just savagery and barbarism, according to Karl Marx, before the royals came to power and owned everything. There was just savagery and barbarism. There was just those great men we heard about, Alexander the Great, Caesars of Rome. That was just savagery, and that was war. Those great civilizations were built by war, conquest, and enslavement. Greece was a slave society. Rome was a slave society. They both are credited with conquering the known world. Well, you tell me what conquering looks like. Nice word. Conquistadors. You tell me what the conquistadors did when they arrived. Another word for conquering in the modern era became colonization. Right? Karl Marx says capitalism came along after feudalism, after the kings and queens, when liberty, egalitarianism, you know, French Revolution, all these things went down. The kings and queens had to give up some land to keep power, give up some power to keep power. So next thing you know, England has a House of Commons and a House of Lords and a Magna Carta, because they were scared to lose it all. Because the people who didn't own nothing didn't have nothing to lose by rising up against them. And so many royal families came down and changed their governments by giving up a little power to lords and parliamentary institutions, mainly of rich lords. But there was also a House of Commons for the everyday folks. And so after Karl Marx says, capitalism arrived after the feudal period, the Industrial Revolution. Capitalism was considered revolutionary at the time. By the way, there was nothing better, but going back to savagery and barbarism, war, conquest, and enslavement, Rome, Greece, kings and queens, feudal lords that you owe fealty to, that half the crops you produce went to your feudal lord and your daughter if he wanted her. However, capitalism came along around the Industrial Revolution and the mercantile, the boom of the merchants making all this money. Merchants was making damn much money as kings and queens. And every man a king. Capitalism said every man could be a king. Capitalism says we can produce enough shoes to put shoes on everyone. We can produce enough housing to house everyone. This is the Industrial Revolution. Capitalism will make sure everybody have a chance to be rich. Rags to riches. Horatio Alger. If you don't know who that is, look it up. Horatio Alger, rags to riches. Poor man becomes a wealthy man. These were the stories of capitalism. Any man could be a king. It doesn't have to be a royal family. Those days are over. So we went into the 18th century. I mean, we went into the 1800s for capitalism. Capitalism was revolutionary against having a king or queen. Every man could have riches for them. And so capitalism was actually revolutionary under Karl Marx, says this. The father of communism points out how at one point in the history of mankind, savagery and barbarism turns to feudalism, turns to capitalism. Every man go for himself. You can have as much as you can take, get, earn, let's say. And so this revolutionary movement called capitalism really got its start in the 1800s with the Industrial Revolution. And people loved it. It was freedom, economic freedom. What happened to capitalism next? When I get back, let me give you a little music. and you're listening to Revolutionary Life. You're listening to Revolutionary Life, and this is Gary speaking. And tonight we were just talking about some isms, y'all. Socialism, communism, woo, capitalism, and real politics. Karl Marx foretold the coming of communism. It hasn't come anywhere, except anything, but it hasn't existed on the ground anywhere, only in theory. So there's no such thing, there's no communist countries. Whatever's going on in these countries, if they're calling themselves communists, they're not. It hasn't evolved. Karl Marx spoke of economic systems as evolving. I told you. He starts way back with the Greeks, with Alexander the Great. You remember that in high school? Caesars of Rome conquered the known world, built great civilization through war, conquest, and enslavement as a method for building civilizations, savagery, and barbarism. Karl Marx says that following that period came a period of royalty, the feudal lords, where the kings and queens owned everything, the king's forests, the king's deer, and the king's land, and you owe fealty, loyalty to this king to fight his wars if you're going to live on his land. If you own land, if you had land under kings and queens, it was a franchise from the king and could be taken anytime. Ownership of land. And he told you, Karl Marx tells you, that if you look at history, it evolved from feudalism when the Industrial Revolution and machinery came along to capitalism. Every man a king. You don't need a king. You don't need a queen. You don't need royalty. You could be a king. The whole mercantile industry at the time, trading, was making as much money as some kings and queens. But in order to hold on to power, many countries went to a parliamentary type of government. That means they gave away some power. England had a House of Lords, rich folks. And then they also had a House of Commons. Gave away some power so they didn't lose it all. They could keep their land. So the Queen of England remains the biggest landowner probably on earth. Capitalism was revolutionary, Karl Marx said, over feudalism. Now every man could have as much as he could amass. Every man for himself, when I said every man for himself in the last segment, I'm referring to something called, in French, laissez-faire. Laissez-faire capitalism. And laissez-faire capitalism was just like that, guys. Hell for leather, every man for himself. And you can make as much money as you could manage to make. And so this was like opening up the world to the average guy. Could own property, build wealth, all that good stuff. So yeah, capitalism was very much revolutionary at the time. And I asked you before I left you here just a minute ago, what happened to capitalism? What happened to laissez-faire? Every man for himself, go for it, capitalist. No holds barred. You know what happened to capitalism, if you remember. We had a Great Depression in this country. We called it a depression in the 1930s. But that's because we changed the name. You know what we used to call it at the turn of the century? Just as the 1800s, as these revolutionary capitalist 1800s were leaving us, In 1910, we called it, 1909, 1910, we called it a panic. We didn't call it a depression. We called it a panic. They don't call it a depression today. They call it a, they call it a recession. Or no, today they call it a correction. It's still capitalism falling on its face. But we don't want to say that. We don't want to say that system no longer works. But we had to admit it. And so we changed capitalism a little bit, guys. Did you know that? It's no longer laissez-faire. Capitalism had to be managed and maintained. It went from every man for himself, hell for leather, you can get as much as you can get, to wait a minute, we got to control capitalism. We got to maintain, we got to manipulate things such that capitalism doesn't fall on its face again. But it did in the 1930s. Another Great Depression, another panic. Well, what we called it, the Great Depression. But a man came along named Keynes, Maynard Keynes, K-E-Y-N-E-S. Maynard Keynes told us in the 30s that, hey, look, y'all broke. So I tell you what, borrow some money from the rich folks and you can get out of this thing. Go to the capitalists, the big wealthy capitalists as a government and borrow money from them. Use bonds if you have to. And so we got in debt as a nation to get out of the depression. But who do we get in debt to, man? A few wealthy, somebody who could give us the money. And that wasn't many other countries at the time, but it was certainly individuals and groups that were willing to pitch in for a fee. The railroads magnates agreed to build railroads across this country. Under a few stipulations from the government, of course, that they keep the money from the railroad and that the government gives them, there's something called checkers, because if you look at a railroad on a map, if you look at a railroad map, it'll look like a checkerboard. There'll be squares left on this side. There'll be no square on it. There'll be squares written on the ground on your map, on the map, that will look like a checkerboard. Black, red, red, black. It might not be black and red, but there'll be spots where there's a square, there's no square. Square, there's no square. Square. Bottom line, the federal government told railroad companies, you can own this land that your railroad is going across. And wherever you saw them checkers on the map is railroad property. So not only did the government give them land for building the railroad, it supplied them with labor. Yeah. Yeah, you talk about immigration, purposeful immigration to help these railroads. The government allowed for China to send workers by the hundreds to the United States to work on those railroads that would cross this country. And do you know something before I move on? I'll tell you what they used to say back in the day, that for every tie, you know, the wooden piece in the railroad, the big wooden block on the railroad track that the metal is nailed into, for every track in the railroad that went across this country, there's a dead Chinaman. Yeah, they had a joke. The railroad company, Union Pacific, them guys had a joke. When they asked them, how do you build a railroad through a mountain? We dig as much as we can. Then we give a Chinaman a stick of dynamite. And we tell him to go all the way in that mountain as far as he can and lay that stick down and come out. What's the most you're going to lose? All you can lose is a Chinaman. This is conversation in the 1800s as they built railroads across this country. So guys, capitalism had to be managed. And so Karl Marx said that that sooner or later, capitalism will amass wealth into fewer and fewer hands. Talk about the income gap. Today they talk about the income gap, how 1% of the population owns most of the wealth of this country. And so Karl Marx said that capitalism will one day wear itself out and concentrate all its wealth into just the hands of a few. And the rest of us will have to struggle for what's left. At that point, he said, we would evolve into a socialist society. That was the next step. You see, Karl Marx saw steps in historical development of economic systems from savagery and barbarism to feudalism, to capitalism, to socialism. And then Karl Marx says, after socialism would come communism. Nobody's gotten that far in building economic systems. Nobody's ever made it to communism. There is no communism on the ground anywhere that I know of. Maybe in ancient times, in villages, in tribes of the ancient world. But not today. And so when somebody tells you about socialism or communism, first let them know that there is no communism. You can call yourself what you want to, but there is no communism. Because if you look at what communism looks like or should look like, nothing looks like that out there now in terms of economic systems. On the other hand, socialism did arrive. Yeah, socialism did arrive. As a matter of fact, in the 1930s, when we borrowed all that money to get out of the Great Depression, we introduced some programs that were called socialist programs. The first time anybody heard of Social Security, did you know this? The first time anyone ever heard of Social Security, it was written in the Communist Manifesto. Communist Manifesto was written by Karl Marx. Karl Marx was known as the father of communism. You get a Social Security check? The first time anybody ever heard of a graduated income tax was in the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx, the father of communism. He said socialism would be the next evolutionary step from capitalism, evolutionary step from capitalism. After the capitalists had amassed all the wealth the easiest it is to find it and distribute it and release it. The fewer hands you have to deal with to get it back. And so socialism did make it. It made it here. Bailing out corporations is socialism. The government shouldn't have any business bailing out a private business, a privately owned concern. It's not a public facility. It's not a publicly owned concern. It's Bear Stearns. It's Lehman Roberts. It's automakers. These people went into business on their own with their own aspirations. If they fail, they fail. But when I heard they was too big to fail, I knew that we lived in a socialist country. When I heard the term under the Obama administration, this went down. Granted, the plans for bailing them out was already on the table when he became president, but he activated those plans to bail these folks out with your money, with your money, with your money. And they don't owe you nothing now that they've bailed out. They're back to doing what they were doing. They got them messed up and got them failing in the first place because now they know they can get bailed out by you, I guess. But anytime a government is that close to private business and private enterprise, that close, i.e., if the business fails, the government fails. Too big to fail was a term coined during that period. We're bailing out these places because they're too big to fail. That means that you've gotten so deep in the pockets. You've gotten so deep in business and wrapped up in these corporations, too deep, to the point where you can't even let a private concern fall on its own. A business is a private enterprise. You do your due diligence, you might have a successful business. You don't, you lose it. The government, that ain't the government's job to see that you stay in business. In fact, most businesses wanted the old capitalism back, where the government stayed out and allowed businesses to do whatever they wanted to do, pollute a lake, it didn't matter. If they wanted to, they want every business want government out of their business. They don't want the government snooping around and making regulations and all that. Except when they need a bailout, then they come to you. Oh, then the government can get all up in their business when they want some, when they would need a bailout. But after they get bailed out, then the government, they don't want the government coming in the door snooping around, telling them what to do and not to do. But let them fail. And they're knocking on the door for help. Capitalism is supposed to evolve to socialism, and that's exactly what it has done, guys. There's no more capitalism without socialism. There's no capitalism without socialism anymore. There's no independent laissez-faire or independent capitalist societies. They're all socialist societies, to tell the truth. The problem is, I mean, not the problem, but the distinction is between the socialism Karl Marx talked about and what we have today. We are experiencing a different flavor of socialism referred to as national socialism. If you're not familiar with national socialism, I'm going to break that down for you tonight. But first, I'm going to give you a little music. I'll be right back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary, and we're here on Blog Talk Radio every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight, guys, Monday night, we're discussing... Oh, by the way, guys, I'm going to start giving y'all the time of day. It's April 19th, Monday. And we're going to be discussing, we've been discussing, socialism, communism, capitalism, and what's the real politic. The real politic is you're living in a socialist society, a flavor, if you will. We bail out corporations, socialism. We have social security, comes straight out of the Communist Manifesto, written by Karl Marx, the father of communism. There was no social security until the Communist Manifesto. They graduated income tax, straight out of the Communist Manifesto. As a matter of fact, when Franklin D. Roosevelt announced this formation of social security, he was called a socialist for doing so. That's right. Capitalism couldn't be saved, guys. John Maynard Keynes said, borrow some money. You're going to get in debt, but you can borrow some money, build some dams, build some bridges, 1930s, 40s, and work your way out of it. And when we did, we didn't go back to capitalism. Oh, no. Certainly not laissez-faire. Every man, do your thing, capitalism. Capitalism had to be regulated. Securities and Exchange Commission had to be informed to oversee the marketplace. Wall Street, stock market. Regulatory agencies went into effect to regulate what businesses could do and couldn't do. Oh, they hated that. That's socialism. Capitalism says the government is hands off. It's a private business. But you know ain't no government hands off out here today. Anyway, the government is so tied up into business right now, into corporations right now, that under the Obama administration, they coined a term for corporations that were about to fail, that the government was about to bail out, called too big to fail. Oh, that told me everything I need to know. If corporations are too big to fail, that means you've gotten too close. The public interest has gotten too tied up and hooked up into privately owned corporations to the point where we can't even let them fall without the government falling. That's too close. I'm sorry. A private concern needs to be able to come and go based on their ability to run their business. But I guess you can intertwine yourself with the government so deep that the government can't even allow you to fail, even when you got poor business practices, even when you can't run a business, even when your business fails, you can fall back on the government, on me and you, to bail them out. Why? Because whether their business works or not, it's so tied into the government that the government can't let it fail without it failing. Gosh. That's a hell of a position to have found, put yourself in. You can't fail. You can get bailed out. Anyway, so Karl Marx has seen a progression of societies, of socioeconomic. In fact, he referred to them as political economies, politics and economics. That's what we're dealing with today. The public's wealth in private hands. That's what we're at today. Public land, public parks, public schools, prisons, all being privatized, all being government services, obligations that the government has that they're filling through. They're filling those arguments, attempting to fill those obligations through businesses, right? And so they're intimately tied inextricably. Can't get them out of there. Tied. You can't extract them. You can't get them out of there. They're so tied to corporations that our government has to listen to what corporations has to say. They don't have a choice anymore. They're too deep. Socialism. And now, what I'm describing to you is a flavor of socialism, and that flavor of socialism is referred to as national socialism, not what Karl Marx had in mind. The Communist Manifesto spoke of a world socialism, an international socialism. We have a flavor now, and we have in the past, called national socialism. In Germany, it was called the Nazi Party. Nationalista, socialista, national something, something. So national socialism, Nazism, was introduced by the fascists of Germany into Germany as an economic system. Way of running Germany. Germany, a national socialist system, proceeded to do what national socialists do, I guess, hook up with corporations. Now, I don't know how many people out there have seen the movie Schindler's List. There's a movie called Schindler's List. Came out years ago, guys. I don't know how many years ago now. Maybe 10, maybe more. Schindler's List was about the Nazi concentration camps in Germany in the 30s, 35, in the 30s. And what we saw was German businessmen who had national businesses going down because Germany was going down as a nation. However, before Hitler, when Hitler came to power and installed national socialism, he hooked up with the corporations, not just national ones, but also international ones. See Ford Motor Company, Henry Ford. Other companies had businesses come to Germany. But local national-based business, German businesses, let's put it that way, Schindler was one of those, this guy Schindler was one of those German businessmen. There was, of course, there was many of those. And he was broke because Germany was broke. People didn't have money. German mark was at an all-time low. People could drive, the story goes, people could come up to a grocery store with a wheelbarrow filled with German money, German marks. And if they went in the store for a minute and came back out, somebody would have dumped all their German marks on the ground and stole their wheelbarrow. That's how worthless the mark was. Hitler said, I'm going to cure all that. He pulled the corporations together and said, I'm going to bring you free labor. Cheapest labor out there. You don't have to worry about medical benefits for these workers. We got the government going to take care of that. You don't have to worry about housing for these workers. We got concentration camps. We're going to take care of that. We're going to march them to work at every concentration camp in Germany during that Hitler's reign. Every concentration camp had a factory attached to it. In fact, there was a gate at the opening, at the gate of the concentration camp. Over the gate was the words in German, Arbeit macht frei. Labor liberates, or work will set you free. They will work camps. They work more people to death than they gas. And this guy Schindler, on this movie Schindler's List about the Holocaust, this businessman, German businessman who was going broke because Germany was, he became so wealthy he had suitcases full of money. Couldn't even close the suitcase. He had free labor. That meant that he had somebody help him create wealth that he could sell around the world, and he didn't have to share that wealth with the people who helped him create it. Hitler made sure that these workers had a place to live, concentration camp, food to eat, clothes on their back, transportation back and forth to work every day. The businessman had no obligations for these workers. So they didn't have unions, they didn't have health benefits, none of that. They had their labor. And the corporations extracted that labor, created things of value that they could go sell. My point here, guys, what resulted was that national corporations in Germany that were once national became big international corporations after World War II. When Hitler failed, these corporations were still there, and now they were bigger than ever. Their names, Krupps, K-R-U-P-P. You probably got a coffee pot by Krupps in your house. The metals families that made started out making pots and pans became an international corporation. Mangala. Sold tractors and equipment like that. Volkswagen of America. It was just Volkswagen back then. But it became an international corporation behind World War II. Free labor, man. Everybody know that secret from Alexander, from the Greeks, who were a slave society, to the Romans, who were a slave society, to the British Empire, which was a slave society, serfs under royalty, under feudal lords. There were serfs, which were primarily slaves. And then wage earners, of course, under capitalism as things evolved. Well, Hitler provided free labor, no salaries, no hourly, none of that, to corporations. The government will take care of the workers. We'll get them to work every day on time, and we'll bring them back home. You ain't got to worry about their food, clothing, or shelter. The government got that. And so corporations that were German corporations now are international corporations today because of World War II and the German concentration camps. They were not death camps. They were. I must say, people died, so I shouldn't say they weren't death camps, but they were work camps. They didn't just kill these people, just put them in a cage so they could gas them. Hitler wasn't a madman. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was providing the age-old method for building great civilizations, war, conquest, and enslavement. That's how Greece did it. That's how Rome did it. That's how the royals did it. The feudal lords fighting castle to castle, king against king, that stuff for land, property, and the like. And so Hitler was just carrying on the old tradition of war, conquest, and enslavement as a method for building a great civilization. But he had a system known as national socialism. It was okay to exploit every other country, Poland, Czechoslovakia, everywhere he could invade, France, England if he could, and to bring those resources home to Germany. Now, they had socialism in Germany now because the government, they had a dictator. But it wasn't a dictatorship of the proletariat, of the working people, like Karl Marx envisioned. It was a dictatorship of the bourgeoisie. Karl Marx called them the bourgeoisie, which is French Well, we would say for the big businesses, for the fat cats, for the capitalists, for the big capitalists who are running things. That's a flavor of socialism that you live under right now. So when there's wars or conversations about communist countries, we got to go and fight these people because they're trying to spread communism to other countries and all that mess. Nobody cares anything about these isms, guys. It's about economics. These wars are not about, do you think the United States went to war in Vietnam to stop communism? I mean, I'm sure they told the soldiers that. But we had that. But there was a song we had. 1, 2, 3, 4, what are we fighting for? I don't know, I don't give a damn. But next stop is Vietnam. Nobody knew. We was told we was fighting to stop communism. You know what we were fighting for. The French had got their ass kicked. And this was a French colony. And the Vietnamese wanted them out the way we wanted the British out. But when they fought for their independence, we went over and fought against it. Even though we had to fight for ours against a king, King George of England, we had every 4th of July, we celebrate a war of independence from being a colony of anybody's. We wanted our own country here, right? And so this country established its own country, broke away from its colonial master. King George of England. So this was just an English colony. The whole goal was to rip off the resources and take them back to jolly old England. But when the Vietnamese said they wanted their independence, we had to go to war with them. The French did, because the French were their colonial masters, and they was throwing them off. We didn't go help the Vietnamese become independent and fight off their colonial master. We joined their colonial masters to fight them, fighting for their independence. But we did it because we were trying to stop the spread of communism. Don't fall for the hype, everyone. These isms don't mean anything. These people think in terms of dollars and shekels and rubles and euros and pounds and lira and pesos. They think in money, land, and property. They're not thinking isms. You, they can scare you and say, oh, no, they're spreading communism. We have to go stop them. No, they ain't going over there to stop anything. They're going over there to take something. That's what they're going to do. Because that's the age-old method, war, conquest, and enslavement. That's how you build most of Western European civilizations. The one I was taught about in school, that's how they got to be great civilizations. Rome is an aqueduct in Rome, the Colosseum. The great Roman Empire, remember? We know how they got there. We know how the 16-year-old Isabella, we know where the gold came from for the throne she sat on in Spain. Conquistadors, conquerors, who came over to this side of the world and just carried out, you know, if you abused as a child, I guess you're likely to abuse others. So since Rome had kicked Spain's butt and made them out of slaves, everybody except the Basque people who would not be enslaved, the Basque of Spain, but the rest of them became Romans, Latin language, Latin behavior, Latin culture, Catholics. Yeah, they took the religion along with them. Most people became Catholics at the point of Roman swords and spears. Anyway, guys, we're getting to our call-in section, so let me wrap it up. I'm just saying, today, we live under a flavor. We live under socialism. It's just a flavor of socialism, a type of socialism. Our Hitler had the prototype. He protoed out another method of socialism, called national socialism, where it was okay to enslave the world on behalf of Germany. That's not what Karl Marx said. Karl Marx spoke of international socialism, world socialism. We get into our call-in section, guys. Our call-in number is 319-527-6060. 319, area code 319-527-6060. I'm going to open up my chat room, and if anybody has any comments, questions, et cetera, they can put it in my chat. I will respond in the chat. If you call me, you come straight onto the air. Everybody hear what you have to say? Everybody will hear what I have to say. This part of the show, I say, it's your time to shine. It's a call-in time, guys. Give me a call. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. Tonight we've been talking about our socialism issue, our isms, socialism, communism, and capitalism. We got down to the real politic. The real politic is that we're living in a socialist country. You know that. We got Social Security. We got a graduated income tax. Nobody ever heard of that till they read the Communist Manifesto. Guys, in my city, business is so tied to, government is so tied to business that even our social services, our sanitation department is run by some out-of-town private corporation. Government services, public services, public parks, public libraries, public land, the prisons, all being privatized, all being run on behalf of the government, I guess, by private, for-profit corporations. And guess what they're going for next, guys? Public schools. So they can turn out the worker for tomorrow, tomorrow's worker. We have stadiums in my town ever since I was a kid. Now the stadiums have business names on them. How about in your town? The largest business in my town name is across our stadium now. How about in your town? What's your stadium's name? Is it named after some corporation? Why don't you just name the town after some corporation if it's not already? I'm just saying, guys, socialism is here. It's just a flavor. It's called National Socialism. Thank you. You listen to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. And we're talking about tonight. We've been talking about some isms, guys. Socialism. Communism. Capitalism. Capitalism and communism doesn't exist. Capitalism is gone for what it was worth. And communism has never arrived. There's no communist countries in existence. They can call themselves what they want, but mechanistically, according to the Communist Manifesto, according to Karl Marx, the father of communism, they don't exist. In fact, they're supposed to evolve from socialism. According to Karl Marx, after capitalism comes socialism, next evolution, communism. So it's supposed to be an evolution of economic systems throughout history. And he goes all the way back through history in Das Kapital. He wrote a book, a set of economic books called Das Kapital. Adam Smith wrote a book called The Wealth of Nations. Adam Smith is known as the father of capitalism. In The Wealth of Nations, Adam Smith says you never pay a worker more than you would pay for a machine, upkeep, and maintenance. You never give a worker more than you would give devote to a machine, upkeep, and maintenance. You're trying to get a higher minimum wage when capitalism has trained and educated all capitalists that you never pay a worker more than you would a machine, upkeep, and maintenance. That's Adam Smith, the father of capitalism. Workers have been fighting for better wages and working conditions. Well, capitalism wasn't built for that. And so that's going to always be a struggle to raise wages. You kidding? The idea is not to pay wages. National socialism was protoed out in Nazi Germany, where every concentration camp had a factory attached to it. And these factories were owned by corporations that are international today. German corporations that went international after making buku money because they had slave labor coming from the concentration camps. Hitler told the corporations, I will take care of their food, clothing, and housing, and health care, and all of that. All you have to get from them is their labor. And you don't have to compensate them for it. That's like slavery, isn't it? Well, that's how all great civilizations, European, Western European civilizations have been built. The one they taught me about in school, Alexander the Great conquered the known world, then made Greece great, and Rome, Caesar, conquered the known world and made Rome great. War, conquest, and enslavement. That's how it's done. And that's all Hitler was doing. He was running the playbook. Y'all don't hear me. I'll be back. You're listening to Revolutionary Rex. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We talk about a lot of subjects here, but we talk about them from a revolutionary point of view. Tonight we've been talking about communism, socialism, and capitalism. Isms. And I told you that there already exists socialism. Hitler ran Germany under socialism, but it was a flavor of socialism called National Socialism of the Nazi Party, put in by the fascists of Germany. And so when I look at our nation, we've got socialism. We had to put it in. Capitalism fell into space too many times. And every time it does, new regulations come. Government tightened up. Government put in new regulatory committees and that kind of thing. Glass-Steagall, where banks can't take your money and go play the market with it, was put in and then removed again. All kinds of things like that was put in behind these Great Depressions. Well, we used to call them panics. Then they start calling them depressions. Then they start calling them recessions. We're in a recession. Today, I think they call them corrections or something. I postulated that from what I can tell, we live in a socialist society. Today, we have Social Security. We have graduated income tax. The world heard about that from the Communist Manifesto. When our president in the 30s put in Social Security, they called him a socialist. How many of y'all get a Social Security check? And like to keep on getting it. When you bail out corporations. And when we find out that the reason you have to bail them out is because you're so in bed with them. Your links are so tied to private businesses that you can't afford to, they were too big to fail, quote unquote, too big to fail. All that says is you've gotten too close. Private concerns, private businesses are just that. If they do their due diligence, they're successful. If they don't, they fail. It's a private concern. It's a private venture. It's not public. It's not government. But once the government gets that tied into corporations, it's over with. It's a done deal. The corporations are calling the shots because one can't go down without the other. I told you. Shit, in my town, everything, government services are privatized all left and right. Our garbage is picked up by somebody else. Somebody who does it for a profit versus for public sanitation. And so our prisons are run by, we got private prisons. We used to lock people up. We still lock them up, but now they're locked up in privately owned prisons. Prisons run for profit. We got private armies. Y'all have heard of Blackwater? We got legal private armies. Nothing but mercs. Ain't nothing fancy about it. It's just mercs. They've been around a long time. Mercenaries. They've been around a long time. They used to call them soldiers of fortune. Now they're legal and got their own business. Used to be called Blackwater. I think they changed the name. Education Secretary's brother, DeVos' brother, runs private armies around the world for hire. So, I mean, they're all over in Afghanistan with us, with the regular army. So we live under a socialist government. Now, socialist government, Karl Marx didn't miss any words. He said socialist government is a dictatorship. He just says you'd live under it would be the dictatorship of the proletariat, of the working person, people. But a dictatorship nonetheless. All land would be public land. If you wanted to use it, you could use it, but you can't own it. The Native Americans thought white people were crazy. Because when white people came to this country, they mentioned to the Native American that this is my land and put a fence around it. The Native Americans never heard of anybody claiming land. Land was put here before we got here by God, and for their concern, land, water, air. How can anybody own these things? Well, they found out by force, war, conquest, and enslavement. They found out that you could actually own earth. They couldn't believe. They never heard it. Native people never heard anything like that. Earth was here before we got here. How can you own earth? With weapons. You can, yes. Anyway, so we live in a socialist society of a particular flavor. There is no communism. There is no more capitalism. You are capitalist. You think capitalist. You think you trading and dealing and wheeling and dealing. And you don't know that above you, the government is already hooked up to business. Do you know the government is not going to tell you to quit eating that $5 Happy Meal because ain't nothing in there good for you? You're going to see that on a public service announcement that your potato chips and French fries is nothing but grease, starch, and salt. And that's going to end you up with high blood pressure down at the store. And then when COVID come along, you're already dealing with high blood pressure because that's all that's in the stores. You got food deserts where it's all just beer and chips. You think the government's going to intervene in corporations making money that way? By selling you artificial laboratory-made meat, GMO grown, genetically modified. Nobody's stopping these people. The government is in bed with them. If you're too big to fail, that means the government has to cater to you. And so Hitler had it the same way. Hitler told corporations, come on back. I got free labor. That's how everybody did it. That's how the Greeks did it, slave society. That's how Rome did it, a slave society. I got free labor for you in these concentration camps. I'll bring them to work and take them back home. You don't have to worry about health care, days off, none of that. The government will provide you labor. And German companies that were once German companies are now international companies. See Volkswagen. See the Krupps family, K-R-U-P-P-S. Small German national companies, wouldn't go on anywhere. Influx of free labor, they're international today. IB Farm. These are names of corporations that went on to be somebody behind all that free labor from the concentration camps of Germany. Every concentration camp had a factory attached to it, and over the top of that factory said, Arbach mach frei, labor, work will set you free. Labor liberates, something like that. I don't know German. But that's what it was, work camps. They worked more people to death than they gassed. Check out the movie Schindler's List. Schindler, the man's name, List, L-I-S-T. My lines are open, guys. It's your time to shine. By the way, I'm sorry, this is Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Gary speaking. We're talking about socialism, capitalism, and communism tonight. I told you there's no communism. Nobody has made it past socialism. It's supposed to be a progression if you read the documents instead of what people tell you. It's supposed to go to socialism from capitalism, and then after socialism has been established, the world would move towards something theoretical and idealistic called communism, commune, community, in common. And so that never happened. So the most we have is socialist governments. I highlighted one, Hitler's Germany, a flavor of socialism referred to as national socialism. Nazism. Then we looked at America and we said, well, hey, we're bailing out corporations. We have Social Security. We've already mixed the two. So socialism is here. And when the government starts paying for health care, universal health care, that's going to be some more socialism. There. And so don't be fooled. Don't be frightened by these isms. They're all over the place. And the corporations and the governments that support them all over the world, they know that isms don't matter. They don't care if you're a communist or a socialist or a capitalist. They're about making money. They'll let you fight each other over things like racism and communism and socialism. I'm a communist. I'm a socialist. I'm a democratic socialist. There's another flavor of socialism, democratic socialism. And so the problem is that democracy is not an economic system. It's a political, social system. It's a way of running a government. Everybody gets a vote type of thing versus a dictatorship. On the other hand, every system runs off of its economic underpinnings, how it makes money. It's economic substructure. So if the economic substructure would be socialism, where resources of the country are divided, are owned by the people, the government, the people of the country. It's a dictatorship. Nobody can own land. Land belongs to the country, to the government. You can rent it. You can work on it. You can open a business on it if you get a permit, but you can't own it. Native American stuff, we lost our mind when white folks came over here and said they own land. That's like saying I own the air and the water and the earth and the sun. And they got water rights, so they own water, yeah. And so that blew their minds. How can anybody own the earth, piece of the earth? They felt it was given to them by God, but all men use, men, people. And so, keep your head up. These issues don't matter. Watch the economics. The economics tell the truth. Where's the money going? Karl Marx says that capitalism one day was going to concentrate wealth into fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer hands. And right here in this country, we're having discussions about the unequal distribution of wealth in this nation. How the 1% of this nation owns the greater percent of this nation's resources. We got billionaires going on to be trillionaires. So the concentration of wealth in a fewer hands is just like Karl Marx said it looks like. And so we are already on a socialism. The government's in the pockets of the corporation. That's not a slogan anymore. The government announced it was in the pockets of the corporation when it says that certain corporations were too big to fail. If they go down, we go down. That's what that means. So when you get that close to a business, to a private enterprise, with our government, you've mishandled our government. We should never get that close to where a private enterprise with some ill-run business who fails to run their business properly begins to fail, as it should, because it's not doing its work. It's not doing what it takes to survive, obviously. It's failing. Shouldn't be the government's responsibility to bail it out. Unless it's too big to fail. Unless we're so intertwined with that government. We're so in that government's bed, in that government's pocket, in that business bed, in that private business pocket, that we can't let it fall. That's too close. We should never be that close to a private enterprise. That's just a private venture. And businesses don't want you in their business, telling them how to run their country, run their business. No business wants the government telling them what to do. They want the government out of their business. But as soon as they fail, they come knocking at your door, asking for your money to get them out of trouble. And you give it to them. We gave it to them. We bailed them out. And so, tonight's show is about socialism, capitalism, communism, and then the real politics. There's no isms that anybody out there is concerned about except you. They'll let you fight about isms. They could care less. Shit, Microsoft is in China, big time. And China lauds itself as a communist country, which is not. Materialism. And tonight's show is just one of the many shows that we have. They're all archived such that you can look on our site and find older shows on demand. They're down there by topic and subject, and just pick the subject, and you'll hear some of the things that we discuss here on Revolutionary Life, especially if you're new. Tonight it's been about socialism, but communism and them isms, but in the past we've talked about a little bit of everything that affects our lives every day, but we took a revolutionary look at that, so that we understand where we stand. And if you didn't, if you're moved by these isms, if somebody told you, okay, that politician there is going to try to install socialism, forget about it. Socialism's already here. We're fighting for capitalism. Forget about it. Capitalism died a long time ago. It was saved in the 30s with socialism, Social Security, graduated income tax, minimum wage, workers' rights, the National Labor Relations Board. So, I thank everybody for listening in tonight. That's the end of our show. All right, and I will see everyone tomorrow night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Central Standard Time. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We also have a site on Facebook by the same name, a page on Facebook by the same name, Revolutionary Life. You can also click follow on this program, and you can you'll see the follow button in the upper right-hand corner, and you can follow what the next show is going to be about and when it's going to air. I want to thank everybody for listening in. My name is Gary, and this is Revolutionary Life.